The revolution.
Revolution.
Revolution. The radio station that's always revolting, WCSB Cleveland.
Hey, everybody, what's up? Scary Ellen here with Roots of the Underground. Kind of a different program today. I will be telling you about the roots of my involvement in the Cleveland DIY filmmaker scene. So today we've got Johnny Wu and one of his producers, Nick, and they're going to talk about their new full-length movie, Bullets, Brothers, and Blood, which is premiering, what is it, next weekend?
Or March 2nd.
March 2nd, so in town. So I just want to give you a little history on Johnny Wu and myself and the two of us, right?
Yes.
well, we met in 1998. A person that I worked with was working with John on a film, and they needed some assistance with some contract language and stuff like that. So, you know, being a lawyer, or at least now a non-retired lawyer at the time, I went ahead and started working with him on certain releases and different stuff like that. And then we got into some intellectual property concerns with fan films, which Johnny is like the guru of those at this point, I think, because he always did it the right way. And while other ones were getting in trouble, this is kind of film speak, but why don't you explain what a fan film is, so in case I don't mess up.
Sure. Thank you for having us here.
You're welcome.
A fan film is basically being any person who have interest for any movie that's in Hollywood or any big movie in Bollywood and so on, that you are interested to do something of your own story based on their characters. So that's how the fan film was created. And you can pay homage of those movies or characters as long as you don't make any money or profit out of it.
Right, and so all these were given away. You made one having to do with... Now, listen, I'm telling you it's a roots because I'm not a filmmaking person. I don't even go see films that much, you know. Full disclosure, Johnny knows this. I don't know nothing about film. But my car was in a film once, though. But anyway,
yes.
When he, you know, was explaining who these characters were in this one Batman fan film that he made, I couldn't even realize it was a Batman fan film. And it had, like, Mr. Freeze in it and stuff. And, mm-hmm. you know, but the way they worded it and the clever way that they constructed the film, it really, you know, aside from being a fan film anyway and following all the rules, you could maybe get away with that with a regular film, although, you know, I'm strict with that stuff. But
right.
So he went on to make a number of different films. Johnny did with a bunch of people in town, always in Cleveland, and helped us with our, you know, he was instrumental in us releasing the Cleveland Screaming documentary movie back in 2016. And I was so glad that I knew a experienced filmmaker and editor and everything. Johnny almost retired after that one, I think, right?
No, because, I didn't realize this is that long ago, 2016.
I know, right? Wow. Yeah, we're almost out of them, too. I mean, it's ridiculous. But,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so... But anyway, so he's the guy to go to in town for filmmaking. And also, you are very involved in community projects and have been for a long time.
Yes.
You guys may recall that I do PSAs, you know, announcements every year for the Cleveland Asian Festival, which is actually in our CSU neighborhood, like mm-hmm. two blocks from where I'm standing right now in the Main Air Studios. And so Johnny has run that for a long time, and that has really... you know, gotten to be a beloved event around in Cleveland for the last, what is it, like 18 years
15
now?
Years.
Yeah, 15 years.
15
so,
years now, yes.
Right. So I got involved a little bit later when I came back to the station. And you also do One World Day, which is
yes.
Another festival that goes on down in the Cultural Gardens. So it really lets people know a lot of stuff about, including myself, about the Cultural Gardens and which ones are being constructed and which ones are opening and things like that every year. So how did you get involved in both of those things?
So the Cleveland Asia Festival, I started as one of the co-founders with Lisa Wong and Vi Hun. And we get going and we decide to have it set up out here in Asian Town because it's going to be celebrating AAPI community, which is Asian Pacific American Cities American Heritage Month during May. At the same time, we also brought in lots of people like Nick here sitting next to me. He was helping me a lot of, for marketing and videotaping all the time. And then after many years in 2015, the Cleveland Cultural Garden people said that they need to make their event bigger and said, you know, maybe we should reach out to Johnny Wu. So
there you go.
They reached out to me. It was kind of interesting in experience because when I first started there, they were like, what the heck an Asian guy doing here to organizing a world culture event? But then it did well, and they trusted me, and then they just keep trusting me, and now this is my 8 years with them.
And rightly so.
So, yeah, it's a good blessing, and people that love me too as well, so I had no complaints.
Everybody knows Johnny Wu.
Yeah, they do. I was going to say the brand name Johnny Wu, exactly. That's so funny. But, no, but, I mean, you've done a lot for the community, and especially the Asian community. I wanted to point out that one of the first years that I did a PSA for the Asian Festival.
I
listed off all the Asian communities that were in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was in one of the, you know, press releases that I was using to make the thing. And it was like 15 different communities. That was pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but a lot of the Asian and Indonesian communities and that diaspora are very into hardcore punk rock, and they have a lot of, and of course in South America and everything, they have a lot of socially conscious lyrics and anti-war lyrics and things like that. You know, for example, in Indonesia, Myanmar, the punk rockers there obviously are very repressed, and people have done benefit albums for them and stuff like that. So, you know, it's not too far away with the internet and with, you know, international communities like that, be it film or be it music, that you could connect with people and know, oh, I know where that is. Wait a second, you know. And so I kind of find that interesting that you can really immerse yourself in all the different Asian cultural activities and food and everything else over there during the Asian Festival.
Yeah, that's going to be coming out in May during the Asian Heritage Month. So, if anybody listening, you may want to consider.
Oh yeah, I'm going to list all the communities again. I want to find that one.
Yep.
I love doing that. That's great. So yeah, you got to make it, you know, slightly different. And the One World Day has always been interesting because of all the different. Different ethnic communities and countries that are represented over there. And when you're, you know, driving 35 miles an hour down Martin Luther King Boulevard over there, you can just take a little gander at all the, you know, different gardens as you go by. There's sculptures, and you know, we always get a list of, okay, this one's opening this year. I think African American gardens were either just started this past year, or I know I had a note about them, but so, you know, Slovenian gardens are there. I believe there's an Irish
Slovenian garden.
Slovenian
garden, there's Irish garden. There's,
so I'm covered.
Right? Colombia garden and Mexican garden coming up pretty soon.
Ooh,
a French garden, it just got incorporated in there. There's about 45 to 50 gardens.
And wow.
There's one of the unique garden in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So you can find this anywhere else besides in Cleveland. So we had a really, really great diversity of cultures.
Yeah, and they really all do come out for the One World Day celebration with all their different ethnic costumes and everything like
that.
Yeah,
usually the last Sunday of August. So
yeah, that's another one.
And the parade is amazing, and that's where you're going to see a lot of the different
ethnic groups,
outfits, and stuff like that as well.
Yeah,
absolutely. And so, you know, Cleveland State always sponsors, and WCSB. Somebody in the actual CSU foundation is also at our station. So we're really well-rounded over here at WCSB as part of the CSU community. Well, anyway, so let's talk a little bit about Bullets, Brothers, and Blood, the brand new movie that you guys, I know you've been working on it for a long, long time.
We started over a year ago. We started in 2022, and a friend of ours, Gang Strauss from Columbus, Ohio, reached out to me and said, hey, you know, I have a script here that it's back up your alley because it's an actual movie and maybe something you'll be interested. So I told Nick to read the script because I was lazy to read it.
Very busy with other things, yeah. Delegating to
so
other.
So he read it and he's like, he liked it, and not bad, so I think we can pull it off. So I finally decided to read it and go through that quickly. Then we said, okay, we got to start planning for this. So we start planning in September 22.
Yeah.
And then we start filming March 11 in 2023. And surprisingly, we didn't realize we'd get it done everything in 10 days.
Wow.
It's one of the shortest days that we film with.
Which is surprising because at first it was not the easiest film to schedule. And as the assistant director and breaking down the script before, it involved so many people, so many different moving parts. So for us to have been able to get it done in those 10 days was pretty amazing.
And thanks to you, we actually used the same contract that you
brought. Oh, man, that's cool.
To 1998. Phew. And then modify a little bit and make it work again.
Oh, so good. Yeah, because you never want your contracts to go bad, that's for sure.
Exactly.
I always liked to, as the years went on, I included more and more stuff so nothing would be, have to be guessed at. Mm-hmm. At any time. So thank you very much. I'm glad to hear that. always nice to be of service, right? Either
yes.
At the radio station or with the filmmakers. What exactly, don't give any spoilers or anything like that, but I know action films are your thing and you are, I don't think I'm telling tales out of school to say that you are a black belt. And I don't know all you are like the president of the Karate Association or something like that.
Well, no, I used to have owned a martial arts school. I grew up with a martial arts family. My father was a martial artist and passed down the technique with me. So I knew about how to do martial arts techniques and fight sequences in movies. Not only that, because besides that, my father also loved watching movies. So we have watched every action movie in Asia,
wow.
10,000 or so.
Oh my God!
So,
wow!
Yeah, because we used to own like about 5,000 Betamax or VHS tape. You know, remember Betamax?
Yeah, my dad had it. Yep.
Absolutely now, but it's still then in the 80s it was really, really big.
Wasn't and I may I say, wasn't your dad a diplomat also?
Yeah, my dad was a diplomat, so that's why we knew a lot of people. And then he took me to all type of events, any circus, whatever the coming town. We always go behind the scenes and say, "Hey, meet this guy."
Wow,
and
that's cool.
Here, check out this magic trick that he's doing. But they never revealed to me how they do it.
Of course not.
So,
and that's what started everybody knowing Johnny Wu.
Yeah, trade secrets, right?
Right.
That is neat. I did not know your dad was involved in that. I never asked you in an interview before, so I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
When you came up to Cleveland and decided to make films, how did you decide to come here? Were your family here? Was your dad here at that time?
I was born in Cleveland, but decided, well, my father is because a diplomat. We live in Central America and Panama.
Mm-hmm.
So after I finished my university over there, I just don't want to hang out there anymore because everybody know me because of my dad.
Right.
I said to myself, maybe just get out of here and go back to Cleveland and try to make a living. So I came here with very little money, live in a place over there on Denison Avenue with no furniture, sleep on the floor, carpet, and just survive. And then back in 1998, I met this guy named Greg Potosky, who is an extremely great photographer. So he and I was like, I got the brain. I know how to make movies. And why don't you? And then you had all the equipment. Let's put together the first movie.
Wow.
So the first movie was called Twisted. That we called you up and said, hey, would you mind able to help us out? And thanks to Miguel from the talent agency back then. I can't remember the name of the talent. Barbizon. Miguel.
Oh, wow.
I can't remember his last name. He's the one who introduced me to you.
Oh, okay. Very cool. That guy I work with, his sister was working with you.
Yes.
Ralph, I forget his last name. Anyway, no names, please, right? But anyway, I got a little bit immersed in that and started to get questions about copyright and trademark, which I really liked. So I got to then start speaking at the Indie Club a couple times.
Yes.
And then it switched to the Indie Gathering Festival and Horror Hotel, which do you own Horror Hotel right now?
Yeah. In a matter of fact, yes, I'm one of the seven new owners. Ray Sarge and Christina Michelle decided to take a break, and then they asked us to take it over. We said, sure, we can do it. The festival is coming up in June, so it's good, something Crown Plaza Hotel over there and next to the airport. And it will be fun because we actually got a lot more submission, and hopefully you can also come back to give a little talk about
cool.
your intellectual property.
I would glad to be of service. Yeah,
yeah.
That's always a neat thing because they get a lot of filmmakers together and they talk their talk, and you get to talk to a lot of different people. That's where I met Midnight Syndicate, the guys
yes.
from Midnight Syndicate
yes.
at Horror Hotel. Those are the guys that do, the soundtracks and everything, and they do those big horror weekends at Cedar Point and stuff. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they provide the music for those, and they also. Well, I was interested in them at that time because they sued Insane Clown Posse ICP for taking one of their tunes in whole cloth and wrapping their rap over it. And Mark Avsek, a local lawyer, was involved in that case. So I thought that was a beautiful way to make things go full circle
wow.
about that. So I talked to them about that. And also, interestingly, when they were doing their talk, and this is like a film thing that I learned, they said that, I think it was Edward, he was saying that when they do a score for a movie, sometimes they'll have placeholder tunes, but sometimes they won't because it might get in their head, that particular, tune or segment or something like
mm-hmm.
that. I thought that was pretty interesting because I had heard, I didn't know how it was done. But now we have a lot of rockers doing that. Of course, Devo
right.
do a lot of scores. The guy from Nine Inch Nails, Trent Reznor from Cleveland, he does a lot of movie scores, and mm-hmm. he got an Academy Award recently for that. So there's a lot of connection between the music community and the film community. Would you say that your film scene in Cleveland, the independent filmmakers,
right?
You guys are pretty tight with. I know there's some spats every once in a while, but do you consider that like a separate scene? And like, are there similar independent scenes in other cities for filmmakers that you found?
Actually, no. I mean, well, in every city, there is always a different group of independent filmmakers participating, doing their stuff. And we actually know a lot of them, fortunately enough, and a lot of them actually also from California and LA. So we
mm-hmm.
keep our communication open and then help each other out and give advice to each other. I used to run a club called Clubhouse in the club inside Clubhouse, which is a audio only social media group. Which,
oh yeah, I remember that.
It mm-hmm. was really huge, and we have a room there every Tuesday, and lots of people from all over the world and California, and especially California, should join up and have a great time together and then share each other knowledge and such. It was a really, really popular room back then.
Yeah, I think I got some ideas for papers that I wrote, articles that I wrote
yes.
From some of that material. Well, so you were considered to be the action movie guy around town, and that's why this guy, even from Columbus, contacted you.
Yes.
I remember the last movie I went to see... there was a lot of knife fights or like sword fights of actual swords and stuff from you guys.
That was a fan film. They called Doctor Who fan film called Trace.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And everybody We actually couldn't find any fake swords, so we had to buy real swords. And then we realized those swords are very sharp.
Do not recommend. So, I wasn't even on that shoot, and I just wouldn't recommend it.
Even the black belts, you know, that know how to handle it, you guys were whoa.
They were scared and a little bit, and then we had to make sure that, fortunately enough, nothing happened during the set. And obviously, we have a medic and safety director there, and nothing had happened. But funny thing was, after we finished the shoot, we do get hurt because we just messed around with a sword and then cut ourselves by accident. So that happened after the shoot.
That's some accident. You were just testing it.
Yes.
You know. What kind of action is there in this this new movie, Bullets, Brothers, and Blood?
I'll let Nick talk about it.
Yeah, so lots of different types of action. I think that is what sets this film apart from other films that Johnny has done. Emphasis on the bullets part of it, I will say. A lot of different gunfights and stuff. But there's a lot of martial arts and extreme chases and stuff like that. Like, I even got to be thrown in for the first time in a very long time of doing my own stunts for a movie. I'm not an actor necessarily. So that was a very different experience. But yeah, there's a lot of different fighting styles as well as different types of fighting throughout the film.
Because I know you are listed, two other black belts that I know are in this movie, Matt Cain and Keith Collins. So
yeah, they're helping out a lot. Keith didn't have lots of in front camera. He was mostly behind the camera helping with the fight choreography.
Because sometimes you get them all involved, but Matt, obviously, he does that flying kind of martial arts. That's what I call it.
Yeah, he does. He does a lot of acrobatic martial art.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's very cool sounding. I see his stuff on Facebook sometimes, and a couple of the last movies that he was in were very interesting.
Yes, he actually making his own feature film now, so I'm giving a big shout to Matt for congratulating him to going to the next level, and hopefully that'll get it very successful.
Excellent. I'll get him in here to talk about his movie next. It'll turn into a movie show. It doesn't matter. We talk about a lot of stuff on this show, and usually it's having to do with moi. But finally, somebody else gets to take the spotlight. Whereabouts did you guys mostly film this? Was it all in Cleveland area, or did you go downstate, or what happened with that?
We mostly filmed here in Asiatown, actually.
Yeah. Outside.
Outside. And then we a few places in Akron, and I think some places in Mentor by the lake. And also a little closer to Overland.
Yeah, it took us to many different places, and one of the big house locations that we were shooting at were really cool, and it's interesting to really be able to expand the horizon of where these films are shot.
Yeah, because I've been told over the years that Ohio has a lot of interesting old houses and barns other kind of settings that are good for filmmaking.
I mean, if you need you can find every type of scenario to film a movie here. So you really don't have to go to anywhere else. You can shoot a movie about Dubai and be here and try to get some stock footage for the tall buildings that you're good to go.
True. Except mountains.
True, mountains. We don't have mountains. We could.
You go next door to Pennsylvania and get something close.
Yeah,
right?
That's why we have green screens, right?
yeah, the green screen. Hey, do you still use that green screen that's down at 40th and?
No.
You have your own green screen now.
No, we don't have one, but we do have access to one right now.
Okay.
The 2019, they sold the building, so we will all get kicked out of that area.
Right. What is in that building now, if you know?
It's a Cleveland camera rental.
Oh,
so
okay.
They own the building now.
Wow.
But I think they changed the green screen to a blue screen.
They changed it to a regular studio screen, and so that they can actually change the color and change the environment.
Well, says you, because I have no idea what that is. How can you trade a green? Isn't a green screen like it's all painted on the floor and the walls and everything?
Yes,
like that?
It can be.
Yes. Yeah. Or you can have
the green, one down there was.
Green cloth.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. The one there, yeah.
That's the only one I ever saw.
Yeah, so. That's true.
I went to an opening over there when they first started that
Creative
Studios.
Yeah. I was there for 13 years.
Wow. I mean, yeah, I'm, all right. Well, usually I'm playing stuff from my high school and college days, you know, on this show, you know. So this is like the newest stuff I've ever talked about. It's a brotherhood story. It's not the usual one kind of story that you have. You have a lot of fantasy stuff. You have you need that thing where the guy had the phone built into his arm, and yeah. like he touched it and the screen comes up, and that was pretty cool.
Most of my movies were action and sci-fi based type of movie. This one's a little different. This is more action and drama thriller type of movie. Tell us a bit of the premise of the movie's story a little bit.
So it follows a man, and his karate school is failing, and he needs to figure out how to bring people back in. And his idea is that he is going to see his brother, who is a failed action star, and try and get him involved with the karate school. And during that trip, he gets mistaken for a criminal, and the entire story sort of just unravels from there. Both brothers kind of get stuck in these situations that you wouldn't expect the normal person to be getting themselves into. But
yep.
But only because that he was mistaken for the other guy.
Correct. Right.
Yeah.
Ah, I see. So the brother part is these two brothers trying to get this thing together, but the brother that was mistaken for the criminal must not look much like the other one, or the other one would have been mistaken, right? Or
The spoiler alert, they actually wear the same clothing.
And
the same kind of a physique. So
too people, inquisitive.
Yeah. People, the gangster in that area just mistaken him to be somebody else.
Oh, okay.
And Nick here played one of the bad guys.
I play the assassin.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. I had not had any experience firing a gun. And if you ask me, that shows in the movie.
We talk about prop gun.
These are
not real guns.
Yes, I should.
Yeah,
promise.
Really, let's not even... It's the appearance of a real gun, right?
Yes, right.
So I don't know. I don't look as natural as I want to.
Like you want to look natural with a gun, Nick. Come on now.
For sure. I guess
that's
so.
Actually a compliment. The premiere for this is coming up at the Atlas Cinemas Lakeshore 7, their VAP premiere of Bullets, Brothers, and Blood. That's on Saturday, March 2nd. At 7:30, and you can, I think you can go straight to, you can probably look that up to see how to be able to go to that. But that's when it's getting premiered. And usually when you have these premieres, you have a lot of trailers and shorts and stuff like that from other filmmakers, right?
Local filmmakers, they have a bunch of different trailers and commercials that they're going to be playing. We do have lots of VIPs showing up. So the film commissioner is going to send in Mike Nguyen to attend. Richard Fife, who is Ohio-only stunt predator teams, will be there.
Wow.
To hang out. We got a couple of mayors from different cities are coming.
I was going to say, you got to get the new mayor, right?
No, the new mayor couldn't make it.
So, what?
But it's all right. But we have other mayors coming.
Black mark against the mayor. That's one down for me. I mean,
it's okay. I mean, he's busy. And then my good friend that worked for the city for the mayor, she will be attending.
Okay. So representative.
That could be a representative.
Okay.
Yes. Right. So it could be exciting. We expect people to show up at 7 o'clock, be on the meet and greet area, and hang out, have the photo taken, and get to know each other, because
right.
it's not only a premiere; it's also a community.
Yeah, it's a whole event when he has one of these. A lot of people know each other, and exactly. It's real interesting to hear him talk and stuff. I'm like a fly on the wall when I'm in there.
Great way to network.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah, no doubt. But Johnny, just noting that, does this mayor know there was a Johnny Wu Day in Cleveland?
The former mayor, Frank Jackson.
I know.
I invited him to my 50-year birthday, and I did not realize he brought in a proclamation naming the day Johnny Wu Day.
I know. I thought that was so great.
That was surprising.
I love that. Yeah.
It was fun.
Because you're also, you're on a couple of like Asian community associations and stuff like that. I don't know the exact.
Yes, I am part of a different organization as a board member. And actually today I just found out I am being nominated to the third award this April. So
wow.
I'm going to be inducted to the Cleveland International Hall of Fame.
Oh, this is unbelievable. This is congratulations to
thank
you.
Thank you. I got nominated to the Cleveland Martial Art Hall of Fame.
Wow.
So, and then
excellent.
The third one is the Gala School. They actually bringing me in as a ambassador honor, honoree. Ambassador
wow.
Award and honoree.
What, so you guys, when I have a special show, I can bring in the celebrities, right?
That's right.
I'm not
this
a celebrity.
All,
I just
this is all great. No.
I care for the community.
You're a very hardworking person
thank
involved
you.
With the community and who has helped me out many times. And we've had a lot of good projects done together.
Yes.
I'm going to play a PSA and then we'll come back and talk some more to Johnny Wu and Nick and about their movie Bullets, Brothers, and Blood. And we'll be back right after this one.
When spring comes to the United States, it can be beautiful and dangerous. Warm air collides with cold air, triggering severe thunderstorms and heavy rains. Snow cover melts. Ice-covered rivers and streams quickly thaw. Melting snow, severe storms, and thawing rivers and streams join forces in the floods come. Yes, spring puts many homes and businesses at risk for flooding each year. So visit www.floodsmart.gov today. You can learn about your risk for flooding and the best way to protect the value of your home and property. You can also call 1-888-724-6619 to learn more. Call or visit today. Brought to you by the National Flood Insurance Program and WCSB Cleveland.
Hey, hey. It's Gary Allen back with Roots of the Underground. We've got Johnny Wu and Nick Mulbach here to talk about the movie and the making of the movie Bullets, Brothers, and Blood. So, Johnny, you wanted to say something about the making of it and
sure.
possibly some technical stuff.
Sure. So, while we were doing this pre-production, planning everything else, somehow I got very sick. I had to go to the ER and almost probably could say that maybe not be able to get out on time for the shoot.
Wow.
So, yeah, I was. I have very high blood pressure, and they found out also there's one of my heart valve was blocked.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, it was scary, but I insisted I want to get out there. I don't want to stay in the hospital. Who wants to stay in the hospital in those cold, nasty
hell
bed?
Hell no.
In the ER. So I got out, and then they gave me lots of medicine. I managed to survive in the sense of being able to get to work. I asked Nick and everybody else to help run the show for me a little bit more. So they actually took up whatever they can and took the lead and helped me out and make it happen.
Excellent.
So we have 10 days of shooting. Nick did all the planning. He also is a second unit director. Business we can do a different size shoot that we need to do instead of me by myself doing all the thing.
And then reshoot when it's not right.
Yeah, exactly.
No. You're a perfectionist, Johnny. We know that.
We had to try to make sure.
There was a couple of things. There was like a shot of a car that I didn't show the license plate of or something like that. But
exactly.
The other stuff was fine. But no, I mean, it's an interesting process. You want to make sure that all the stress during that time can be lifted off Johnny as much as possible. I mean, obviously, when it comes to any form of art, there's going to be stressful times and stuff like that.
Right.
But as long as you can communicate with people, I think, and I mean, Johnny is one of the best communicators I know. So I
no
mean,
doubt.
We were able to
I hope so.
Make sure that like if something was not going the way that you know, you had wanted or something like that to
yep.
make sure that we were going the right direction to make sure it was an easy process.
And we also make sure that nobody stay longer than they need to be. We usually shoot only like 8 hours. Anytime over, every time it's over 8 hours, I get very cranky.
Well, that's good.
So and then we feed them well. We have really good food, mostly from Li Hua, which is over here, Asian town.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of our neighbors over here as well.
Exactly.
And we usually drive together, so any of the crankiness I just get to deal with.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I'm just kidding.
Well, I know that it's very difficult to put together a group of people to make a film, not only the actors, but all the other participants, crew, directors, and everything. And with that many people involved, and usually there's a lot, you know, comparatively to, you know, doing something on your own or with another person, mm-hmm. or in a band of even like, you know, four or five people. We know how difficult that is. But imagine that many people or a lot more people trying to coordinate to make a film. So,
right.
That, you know, that's, one of the things that I really, really admire about, what I've seen of the filmmakers. They are, very passionate and also very, hardworking in, trying to make their, you know, not to have a cliche, but trying to make their vision, you know, come real. So,
right.
And that's literally what it is.
Yeah.
So
Cleveland has a lot of talented filmmakers. I mean, Nick Mobach here, he's mm-hmm. also a filmmaker himself. He won some award. We also have Tyler Thomas, Robert Banks also.
Oh, Mike Robert Berry. Banks. We know Robert Banks from way back. Yep.
Way back. Robert Banks. We have Mike Berry, who is such a good, good talented filmmaker. And there's a whole bunch more. I can keep naming.
I mean, and it's consistent. I mean, if you're making films as much as, I mean, I started when we made Parker, which is another fan film, and you meet people, and you know that if it's somebody that you respect when it comes to filmmaking, you know that the people that they're going to bring in are also going to, you know, treat their project with the same respect that they're treating it. And if they don't, then you trim the fat, obviously, from there.
Mm-hmm.
But since Parker, all the way to Bullets, Brothers, and Blood, there has been this just buildup of consistent talent that comes back and forth, and that kind of makes the process so much easier when it comes down to it.
Yeah, and then for most of the cast and crew, we get all the local talent to help out. Which, incredibly speaking, Cleveland have a lot of great talents here. So we can never end up with anybody that's not good. We also reach out to different universities like Cleveland State, Tri-C, Case Western, whoever who want to come out and help out. You know, we welcome everybody because this is a community and you get to learn about become a filmmaker.
So, Nick, you actually went to the film school here at Cleveland State. Tell us a little bit about that and, you know, how you connected up with Johnny. Were you with Johnny before that or?
Yes. So I was friends with Johnny on Facebook, but when I was at Tri-C, he came to speak to one of my classes and talking about this Spider-Man fan film, Parker, that he was making. And I'm like, well, I want to be involved with that. Originally as an actor, because I love Spider-Man and putting on that costume and stuff. But after he gave me a tour of that old studio on 40th, I just stopped and asked him if he had any internship spots open, because it was something that I wanted to do. And I've been working with him ever since.
Very cool.
But yeah,
I can't get rid of him.
Well, he can't get rid of me. That's what it is.
I think I've seen you down at the office a couple times too.
Definitely.
Last time I went down
probably,
there,
yes.
I think. Yeah, when you were still down there, I mean.
Yeah.
But there's a couple people, or at least one from the station who attended the Cleveland State Film School, and it's always been a mystery to me why they don't get more people don't get involved with the station, because obviously we've got all kinds of audio equipment. And, you know, performance spaces and things like that. I mean,
definitely.
It's something where, you know, I've heard of people wanting to be voiceover guys. Well, there's a production studio right there, a lot of microphones. Yeah. So we never, you know, we thought that, we're considered a university, student club. believe it or not. And it works a slightly different way in coordination with the actual university. At least that's what I've been told. But anyway, I wish people would just randomly on their own come and, you know, get a show at the station. Anybody that was a CSU student could get a show at this station, Nick.
Yeah, no, yeah, definitely.
It's absolutely true.
I would recommend it.
There's myself. There's an application thing that you can go online. I might as well recruit students while I'm up here, right? Because I would say I was a Cleveland State student, and I went to law school, but I was also a Kent State student where I was at the radio station there, and at that time we only had carrier current, which Johnny, I don't know if you know what that is, but it's and Nick, I don't know if you know what that is, but it's like a closed circuit kind of audio radio in the you know, on campus, in the buildings on campus.
So
we did not go out to in the broadcast realm. So when I came here, I was blown away by the amount of equipment they had, and you know, they didn't even have you know, we had people that were going for telecommunications degrees like I did, working up there and going and interning at Channel 3 and stuff like that. And I couldn't understand why people didn't do that here, but yet they had this giant facility and everything with all this stuff. So they were very lucky. So and we have a lot of great listeners and donors over the years who have really supported the station and done a lot for us. And there's a lot of different, you know, shows. And I do music shows. It's usually not a, you know, a talk show that I do. I call in the talk shows. But it's great to have people on here who can talk about some stuff happening in Cleveland. And Nick, do you know Steve Merz?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is a comedian, and he does a show on Friday night.
He is also a filmmaker.
I was going to say,
And he went to the film school. Yep. So there's...
Yeah, I believe he graduated the year... So when I went to the film school, it was the first year that it was, like, fully open. Mm-hmm. My first year at Cleveland State was spent more on actual campus, and then... the next year, I was lucky enough to be able to go to the film school. And yeah, I mean, I would definitely take advantage of a place like this if I was there right now. So people got to get involved, right?
Get the word out.
That's right.
On the underground, right?
Right.
Roots underground. Now it's down at Playhouse Square somewhere,
yes,
right in those buildings.
Idea Stream, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we knew some people that worked over there, too. So, I'd like to see people from our CSU community and WCSB community getting out there and doing other stuff that's related to the thing. A lot of people from the station were in bands, and so, you know, you'd see them here and you'd go and see them in their bands, and that's been a lot of people. So, not as many filmmakers. Steve, I can't think of any other, but there's some other ones that are comedians and whatnot. Did you get involved with any kind of other media at CSU when you were here, Nick, like the Cauldron or any of the newspapers or anything like that?
Funny enough, my involvement is with them, at least, has come from working for Johnny, because we're communicating and stuff like that for different events. I kind of stuck primarily with the film school, but it was an incredible experience to kind of be a part of that indoctrinating process of getting everything kind of rolling when it comes to that program. I can only imagine where it's at now, because obviously when it comes to a new space like that, you're going through growing pains, and we were kind of that to start. But I love Cleveland State. It's been such a great experience. I go to the basketball games and stuff like that.
I was just going to mention that. You must be prescient. Yeah, I was a Cleveland State Vikings men's basketball season ticket holder for 18 years.
Yeah.
And then what did I do? When I came over here in 2015, I had to give up that season ticket because a lot of times it was on the same night as my show. And it was just too much to have two things going. So I say, well, I went on the other side of campus. You know, also when Coach Waters got bounced out of here. So that wasn't too, great for us. But I people have always asked, like, why do they not, broadcast the games here? Well, it's, let me see. Yeah, it's a long story. No, but it's always been a kind of a music station, and the sports programs were not involved. Like I said, it's a student club group, so maybe that had something to do with it. But we had a guy who was a sports talk radio guy here at Cleveland State. Believe it or not, they let him have a little show. Mm-hmm. And he used to get, you know, guys on from, you know, other, you know, teams and other talkers and stuff like that. And lo and behold, he went and got a real job at the sports talk radio show station downtown, and or wherever it is now. And he is one of the few people that gets out and is one of the broadcasters working in the field. Most of us come back and we want to play what we want to play, so we come back to college. Mm. Right? So there's some people who are you know, radio engineers, like our buddy Dave up in Canada, our archivist. And so he, you know, keeps it down on the radio end. But a lot of people don't even realize not only that there's a station here, but, you know, at CSU, but, you know, the students. But what a broadcast station even is. You know what I mean?
Right.
They come up, they, you know, they're more familiar with maybe podcasts and stuff like that, which are not broadcast live over the public airwaves run by the federal agency, the FCC. So, you know, it's a lot more serious and a lot more fun to have that. All right, well, I'm going to break for a minute and play a Stiff Little Fingers tune because they are coming here May 6th. And we just saw them in London last year. Guys have been around since the 80s. They're still going strong. So let's hear their version or their tune, Piccadilly Circus, and then we'll come back and wrap it up with Johnny and Nick. course, two bands we saw last summer, Generation X, actually Generation 6, and that was Generation X doing Wild Youth. Stiff Little Fingers before that, Piccadilly Circus. And we're about to wrap up our discussion with Nick and Johnny about their new movie, Bullets, Brothers in Blood, which is coming up on March 2nd over on the east side in Euclid on at Atlas Cinemas, Lakeshore 7. So you can go on to, should I just tell them a website or, here, Johnny.
Well, you can.
People, I mean, because it's got a premier Eventbrite thing, but, you know, probably you've got a website anyway, right?
We have a Facebook page called Bullet Brothers in Blood.
Okay, there you go. Mm-hmm.
That's the only way, the best way to check out all the behind-the-scenes videos and everything else.
Right. Yeah, I know you always have a lot of that. And part of those premieres always have all your bloopers at the end. Those are always really
fun.
We do
that. We always do that.
Yeah. That's like a signature of...
bloopers, Q&A.
Yeah, right. And they have questions afterwards. Yeah, and,
right.
You know, so if you have any questions about Johnny's films in general or the movie there, everybody will be there to... and also anybody that has... shorts or trailers or anything like that too.
Right. And of course, if anybody would like to get more into filmmaking, you know, you can always reach out to me or Nick.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Looking for interns.
Right.
See, well, there you
we're
go.
We're always looking, yeah, just extra. Like, when it comes to the films, like crew hands and stuff like that, anybody that wants to, my thing has always been that anybody that wants to learn or have their story told is, I mean, Gaines is a perfect example of that. I mean, yep. Gaines writes scripts all the time. And mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that this is one of the first.
We are doing another one with Gaines in, after this one is over.
Right.
Yeah, that is a very good point because it's not, you know, you get noted to actors and things like that and even directors, but there's a lot of stuff that goes on in a movie that you can get involved in. I remember the old film commissioner used to talk about how, you know, even if you were in a small film or if you were even a something in a film, you know, that was something you could put on your application for a big film. And, you know, that line. And then sometimes, you know, as he described it, you know, they might have known who the director was or a producer or something. And, oh, you know, you work with that guy. And that's literally how everybody networks around in film. Right. Am I right?
Yeah, we are independent filmmakers. So we don't make movies for a living. We basically do it as a way to be creative and give our passion out there. So any support from any local industry, any industry, and it's always welcome because you help us become better filmmaker by supporting us and be there for stuff we do.
Sure, it's the same thing at the radio station. I would also tell you guys, and Nick, go and apply at you know, and I think it's on the second floor of the student center or something like that. But there's application forms and there's online applications to come and work at the station. Usually, mm-hmm. people want to have an online show, which is a broadcast show, but which is of course, you know, what you want to do, and you can, you know, see the open slots out there too. A lot of times you're if you've got time during the day or late at night, yeah, that's why I'm here and that's why I do the night show. But
yes,
the night show is in Safe Harbor, which is where you can have swearing and stuff if it happens to come up, right? So I want to thank Johnny and Nick for coming down today. Any last words about the movie or anything like that, or anything that's on your mind?
Well, I think anybody who wants to become a filmmaker, don't give up your dream, but also be honest about everything you do.
Okay.
Don't think too large, and you know, you can dream as much as you want, but be realistic how you can accomplish that dream. And if you come to this premiere with us and hang out with us, you get to know a lot of filmmakers and lots of opportunities will open up for you. So it's very important to support local film because that's how we make it excited to see that, oh, you like a film, let's make another one with passion.
Right.
Yeah. It gets you ideas. Even at the Indie Club meetings, people get ideas from each other. So, Scary Ellen and Roots of the Underground getting ready to wrap it up here, washing up, punching out. I'm going to play one more tune and thank my guests today for coming in. I hope everybody enjoyed a little bit different Roots of the Underground, but let's end it up with something that... we all know.
And thank you again for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
You're very, very welcome. And you guys were very interesting guests. And I wasn't even a dry core, right? I'm not even an interviewer. So, hey, let's check it out. This is the Buzzcocks.